guys? Hey. I'm doing good. How you doing? guys, let's give one more round of applause for the band this morning. Come on. I was telling Cooper this morning, Christmas worship, it just hits different. You know, it's just nice. It's happy. It's well, joyful. I'll say pun intended there. But it's just better. Let's be honest. Christmas worship's just better than regular worship. But anyways, I digress on my worship opinions. Guys, my name is Ryan. If I haven't met you before, I serve on the students team full time. I used to hang out here at Wake on Sunday mornings on a regular basis. Now I'm here on occasion because I spend some time at Shoreline, which is our high school ministry. So shout out to you 8th graders. That'll be there next year. And then with our college ministry as well. But it is good to be back at Wake. You guys have a lot of energy. How are we feeling this morning? Yeah! Come on. Look, Karate Joe brings some energy that you really love to see. So anyways, guys, I'm really excited to dive back into our Christmas series this morning called Enough is Enough. Last week, Austin talked about enough time and how to steward our time well. This morning, if you're a note taker, you can go ahead and title this message Enough Stuff. And we will dive in here pretty soon. But before I get started, what I wanted to do is just pray. So if you guys will bow your heads with me, I will pray. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you just for the opportunity to be here. Father, thank you that we've got a room full of students this morning that are here to hear your word. Lord, I pray that you would help me step aside, that your spirit would be present, that you would change hearts here this morning. Lord, that you would change my heart. Father, that any words that come from me alone would fall by the side, but that only your words would pierce the hearts of these students in this room, Lord, that you would make your presence known, that you would proclaim your love this morning and meet us here. Father, thank you for the opportunity to just be here and the privilege it is to be at church on a Sunday morning. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. Well, guys, I've got a good-sized Christmas gift up here. I don't know if you can see it. How many of you guys like receiving Christmas gifts? Sometimes. I heard some sometimes. How many of you would like to receive a Christmas gift this morning? Who wants this giant gift that I've got on stage? Come on, give me some energy. Show me you actually want it. Let's see. Tough. Okay, I'm going to pick. Let's pick. My man sitting down with the backwards cap right there and the red hoodie. Yeah, that's you. Yeah. Come on up. All right, we've got a gift here for you. Feel free. We're not saving the wrapping paper. Go ahead. What's your name?
Aiden,
what grade are you in?
Seventh.
Seventh grade. Aiden, do you think you were going to receive a Christmas present this morning?
No, I didn't.
Well, Merry Christmas. Why don't you open that present? Feel free. We're not saving the paper. You can go crazy on it. It's nothing special. Don't shake it too much. It's a little fragile. Rip it. There you go. You open that box. There's some tape there in the middle you might have to bypass. You got it. Nice. You got it. I believe in you. There you go. What's in there?
Is this a calculator?
Yeah, it's a calculator. All right. That's awesome, Aiden. Hey, Merry Christmas to you, man. Take that calculator down there. I got to be honest. I really expected some more excitement there, Aiden. Aiden, that is a real calculator. There's batteries in it and everything. Look, here's what I'll tell you. I'll confess, it's not a graphing calculator, but you can still get some good use out of that, all right? It's basically the same calculator you have on your phone, except for it's a little less capable, but it's still valuable. All right, Aiden, get some good use out of that. Here's the deal. When you see a box this big, usually you're expecting what? Something big. Oftentimes at Christmas, if I have a small gift for someone, I'll get a giant box and I'll put some rocks in it so that it like weighs a lot. Yes, she gets it. Because when you see, she's like, it's so fun getting missed expectations. Because that's the reality, guys. Sometimes what we expect is not what we receive. Sometimes our expectations are very different than our reality. You see me on stage, you see this giant Christmas present, I've got this huge box, so obviously the gift must be awesome. It wasn't, it was a calculator. Here's what I'll tell you, I'm a math nerd, calculators are pretty cool. So Aiden will get some good use out of that. But this is what happens, guys. Sometimes we have missed expectations. And Christmas, this can happen a lot. Christmas is a really special time of the year. There's Christmas lights everywhere. People seem happier. Gifts are given. Gifts are received. December is easily the best month of the year. Okay, you may not agree. December is easily the best month of the year. Here's some things, though, that maybe you weren't aware of about the season of Christmas. First, in 2019, the average U.S. household spent $1,496 during the holidays. More than 60% of Americans buy their gifts the week before Christmas. I fall in that category. And 46% of people have lied about liking a gift that they've received at Christmas. There's some interesting controversy there. Not only, hold on. Around 61% of Americans expect to get a present they dislike, which equals 154 million dissatisfied individuals at Christmas. That is an estimate, hold on, that is an estimate of $15.2 billion in unwanted Christmas presents. And here's the dagger. 10 people have died on the popular shopping day they called Black Friday. More than 100 people have been injured since 2006 because of Black Friday, because of stampedes and robberies and all the excitement about things that can be bought and received at Christmas. Guys, look, Christmas is for sure the most joyful time of the year. It really is. But in a world that's telling us more is better and that getting what you want will lead you to happiness, Christmas is easily becoming the craziest time of year. During this Christmas season, it's especially important that we learn and remember how to prioritize our wants and our needs. Because it can be really easy to expect that more stuff will equal more happiness. But the reality is that nothing in this world will ever satisfy you like Jesus can. And so instead of focusing on what we want this Christmas season, I want to talk to you guys about what God wants for you in this season. And God wants Christmas to be an opportunity for you to remember what you already have. So my focus today is simple. The truth is that expectations we have can rob us of the joy and contentment that God offers. So in this message, we're going to cover just three realities of the Christian life that help us fight missed expectations. Okay, there's a lot of realities, there's a lot of truths about the Christian life, but today we're going to cover three realities of the Christian life that will help us fight our missed expectations. I'll start by telling you guys a story. In 2009, I was a freshman in high school. I know. It feels so long ago. And I wanted a new set of golf clubs for Christmas. I had never had my own set of golf clubs, and so I was like, okay, this is the only thing I'm going to ask for this year, because I realized golf clubs, they're kind of expensive, so like I might as well just ask for golf clubs alone. All right, and I'm feeling pretty good. I'm going into December 25th. I'm feeling pretty good. I'm going to wake up this morning. I'm like, I'm going to open a new set of golf clubs, because I'm like, why wouldn't my parents get me what I asked for when it's the only thing I asked for? So I wake up that morning, and I see this giant box under the Christmas tree. And I mean, golf clubs, you know, they're pretty big. So I'm like, this box is obviously the size of golf clubs. It's not going to be the size of anything else. And I sit there patiently. I've got my Christmas pajamas on. I'm being the good kid. I'm letting my brother open his presents first, you know, being responsible, doing all the right things. Finally, it's my turn. And I am ripping open this box, right? So I open up the box. Inside the box is not a set of golf clubs. So we're already pretty disappointed. And then I see this smaller box. I'm like, great. I open up this smaller box and take a look at what was inside that box. That's Cole. That's Cole. And yes, that's also me with a cast, and my arm is in a sling. 2009 Christmas is a rough Christmas. So not only am I in this moment not receiving what I expected to receive, being golf clubs, I received Cole, a box of Cole. I don't know if anyone has ever had that prank played on them, but my parents didn't play any games. They literally brought bought charcoal and put it in a box for me. And here's the deal. I was pretty upset, and my parents laughed at me for a little bit, and obviously they took some pictures of me, but after that, we got over it, and they told me to walk around the corner into the bedroom where my golf clubs were. So I know, my parents, they're not totally evil. They did get me a set of golf clubs, and I have owned those. Like, to this day, I still have the same set of golf clubs, but they started with Cole. And here's the thing, guys, that's a funny thing. It's a funny story, but in some sense today, this is how things are. It's a silly example, but there are times in our life where our expectations and reality will go two totally different directions, and we're left with disappointment. And sometimes that disappointment lasts longer than just a few laughs and pictures, because sometimes that disappointment isn't something like getting cold for Christmas, but it's more personal. It hurts more. It's maybe family-related or friendship-related or things like that. And it might not just last for a day, but it lasts for a week or a couple months. Maybe it even lasts for a little over a year. And that's the first reality I want to talk to you guys about the Christian faith, is that we live in a fallen world. And here's what I mean by that. In your life today, tomorrow, and days after that, and years moving forward, there are going to be moments of disappointment. I know what you're thinking. You're like, Ryan, some Christmas message. This is awesome. This is a reality that we as Christians get to accept. That is what it's like to live in a fallen world. And this can all be traced back to Genesis chapter 3. We're in the garden where Adam and Eve live, right? They're the first humans created by God. They live in perfect relationship with God. Perfect relationship in a garden where they have everything they need. And they had freedom to do anything they wanted, except that they had one exception, and it was that they shouldn't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And although they lived in this perfect relationship, they were still tempted to doubt whether or not God was truly good. And so through one bite of a fruit from that tree, life in this world was fractured. Everything in this world was broken. Sin entered the world. Anything that we say, think, or do that is not according to God's plan and will. And man had, and this was evidence in their response. Because when Adam and Eve did this, the first thing they did was hide from God. It says that their eyes were open and they saw that they were naked, so they tried to find clothes to make and to cover themselves up, and they hid in the bushes from God. And this is the very first moment in the Bible where we see man separated from God. They went from living in perfect relationship to separation from God. And for that reason, all of us live in a fallen world. For that reason, all of us are born sinners. And this is a reality that we have to accept as Christians. But here's the truth. Here's what's really beautiful about this. I'm not going to leave you in this, like, sad we live in a fallen world. But Jesus actually speaks about this in John chapter 16, verse 33. He says, "On earth you have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world." See, Jesus promises us hard times, but he gives us hope. Jesus takes the time to promise us, hey, you're going to have difficult situations. You are going to find disappointment in this world, but you can have hope. Because he says, I have overcome the world. Bad things happen to God's people. Life is not, if you perform well for God, God will perform well for you. It happens in Scripture. It's true. It's probably happened in your own experience. It's true for me. It's true for you today. But here's the beauty in this sad truth, is that if Jesus promises us hard times, right, in that verse, he promises us hard times. When you go through something challenging, that can affirm your faith. Because if Jesus promises you hard times and you go through hard times, it means what Jesus says is true. And if what Jesus says is true, then you can have hope. Because not only are Jesus' words true, but who he is and who he says he is true. He is the Son of God who offers you salvation if you believe that he is your Lord and Savior. And so that's reality number one. That we live in a fallen world, but that we can have hope because Jesus offers us salvation, because he has overcome the world. Now let's go to another story here in my childhood. Unfortunately, I don't have any shaming pictures for you. But when I was 10 or 11 years old, I threw one of the biggest fits of my life. Talking like stomping on the ground, crying in public type of fit. Everyone in my family wanted to watch this basketball movie. It's called Hoosiers. It's actually a really great movie. It's a great basketball movie, great sports movie, good family watch. But young Ryan disagreed. Young Ryan said, no, I do not want to watch this movie. I honestly don't remember what movie I wanted to watch instead, but I would have rather have sat in silence than watched that movie that night because for whatever reason, I didn't want to watch that movie. And how badly did I not want to watch that movie, but to handle it in a very mature way. I might as well tell my parents, like, Mom, let me sit you down. Mom, I don't want to watch this movie. I'd really appreciate it if we watched something else. No, what I did was I started crying. I started yelling and screaming that I didn't want to watch the movie, threw a fit in the living room, and then I found we had this desk in the hallway. I find this desk, I crawl under the desk, and I just cried. I just cried. And here's the thing. Two things happened as a result of my wonderfully executed defense that I took against my family's desires that night. The first thing is I spent the rest of the night in my room. And the second thing is that my family enjoyed watching a movie called Hoosiers. So sometimes you don't get what you want, and that is reality number two. Reality number two is that you will not get everything you want. Again, this is a silly example, but it can be a relatively challenging concept for us to understand. And so to help you understand, I want to go to Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus talks about it, and I think he explains it really well. So if you go to chapter 7, verse 7, it starts there. Jesus says, keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. Everyone who seeks, finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be open. Now you might think to yourself when you're reading this, okay, it seems like Jesus is promising me that everything I ask for, I will receive. But your experience, your life, would probably tell you that you haven't found this to be true. Because there's probably times in your life, like me, where I didn't want to watch Hoosiers and I didn't get it, or other things that are more serious, where you received something, or you didn't receive something you asked for. So what does that mean? What do we do with that? Well, let's keep reading. In verse 9, Jesus says, you, parents, if your children ask you for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? And so then I ask, well, what if the kid asks for a snake? What if the kid asks his parents for the snakes? I think it's really clear in this text that God would not give the snake to him. That fathers would not give a poisonous snake to their 3-year-old child. They don't do it no matter what the kid is doing in the pet shop. If the kid's throwing a fit like I did, they wouldn't do it. They're like, but can I hold the snake? He's kind of cute. And he makes a cool noise, and he's got that rattle on the end of his tail. Like, it's so cute. I like its teeth. They're so sharp and pointy, you know? And you're like, the parents are sitting there, and they're like, look, you don't understand. You just don't understand. The answer is no, because I love you. Right? The parent is not going to give a poisonous snake to his 3-year-old child because he loves his child. And the same is true for God. God doesn't give bad, hurtful gifts. And I mean ultimately hurtful. And this is a really hard concept to accept. This tests our faith because God only gives what is good for his children to his children, period. And sometimes it might be painful, but I'm deeply, deeply thankful for the stability that brings in our lives. Because here's the reality, guys, let me be honest. My parents got divorced when I was in 8th grade. And as a result of my parents' divorce, my relationship with my dad actually kind of fell apart. And it pretty much broke to where I went multiple years without talking to my dad. Here's what I tell you. God hates divorce. Let me be abundantly clear. God did not make my parents get a divorce. My parents, in their own sin and brokenness, chose to get a divorce. God hates divorce. But what God does do is he makes good out of our sinful decisions. The beauty of this is while this is not something that maybe I would see as a gift, right? God turns it into a gift. Because as a result of my parents' divorce, I came to know Jesus. The same year that my parents divorced, I went to a Christian camp and came to know Jesus for the first time in my life. And then, yeah, you can clap. It's exciting. Yes. Thank you. And then years and years later, just this last year, so I don't know, I can't do the math right now, but multiple years later since my parents have gotten divorced and my relationship has broken down with my dad, I now have a completely restored relationship with my dad, and not only that, but my dad came to know Jesus as well. Yeah. My dad came to know Jesus through conversations that we had about our broken relationship and his divorce. Because God turns our sinful decisions into good gifts. And sometimes we're not going to get what we want. And that's okay, because Romans 8:28 says that, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. So in a fallen world where we don't get everything we want, we can trust that God will bring good out of our circumstances. And ultimately, we can trust God. And the reason we can trust God is because of reality number three. Reality number three is that God has given you everything you need. That God has given you everything you need. 2 Peter 1:3 says this, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who has called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. God is doing tens of thousands of things in our circumstances, and that's likely a significant underestimate of a number. There's a prophet in the Old Testament who one time asked the Lord, he's like, Lord, please tell me what you're doing. His name was Habakkuk. And God essentially said to him, no, I'm not going to tell you, because if I told you what I was doing, you wouldn't believe it. It's like, I'm not going to tell you what I'm doing, because if I told you what I was telling you or what I was doing, you wouldn't believe it. If God today told us what he was doing in this world, we wouldn't believe it. But our response to this reality is trust. This reality finds its root in Romans 8:32. It says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? You had one gigantic need in your life. It goes back to reality number one, that we live in a fallen world, that you were born a sinner, separate from God. And so God saw that need, and rather than leaving you alone in it, he came to this world to be born in human likeness, to live a perfect life, to die a death on the cross, to be raised to life 3 days later so that you could have a relationship with him. If that was all God ever did for you in your life, let me tell you, it's all you would ever want him to do for you. God satisfied our biggest need in Jesus. He saw our biggest need, and he gave us everything we need in him. Psalm 16:2 says, you are my Lord, I have no good apart from you. Psalm 16:11 says, in your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. God saw your biggest need, and he provided for you in his son on Christmas morning. So in summary, there's three realities of the Christian life we talked about this morning. That we live in a fallen world, that you will not get everything you want, but that God has given you everything you need. And I'll give you one little step of application, because the best way to help you remember this truth, the best way that I think is to help you remember that God has given you everything you need, is gratitude. So when you go home today, take a pen, take a piece of paper, and I want you to try and write down at least 50 things that you are grateful for. I know, that sounds like a big number. Here's what I'll tell you. I did this for about 30 minutes the other day, and I came up with over 100 things. And you're probably like, oh my gosh, but here's the deal. This started with my access to God and my faith. Like, I'm grateful for that, all the way to my ability to have hygiene and to brush my teeth and the structural soundness of this building. There are things throughout our days that we don't realize we wouldn't have if we didn't trust God. God brings goodness into your life every single day, and the more we choose to recognize that, the more grateful we will be for it. And the last thing I'll say is that as you reflect on this Christmas season, on your life, on your struggles, on your disappointments, on your victories, your faith and your hope, I want you to remember that God is God and that we are not. The God who governs the visible and the invisible things knows what he is doing in your life. The God who was brutally murdered on a cross knows what it is like to suffer and how to redeem it. God knows how to redeem suffering, specifically how he will bring good out of your hard times by mysterious things that you will probably never know, and he will bring good out of it. It's a promise. He doesn't always do things the way that we expect or that we wish he would. But shouldn't we know by now that when it comes to God, we should just go ahead and expect the unexpected? Because faith is hard. Faith is built in trust. And faith in God certainly doesn't always feel safe, but it does make us incredibly secure. Because when we look to the truth that God saw our biggest need in needing a Savior, and he sent himself, he sent his Son, God will provide for even your smaller needs because he is a faithful and good God who you can trust and worship without always completely understanding. Pray with me. Lord, thanks for this morning. God, thanks for the Christmas season. Thank you for the fact that we can celebrate a holiday with our family, that we can sing fun songs, that we can put up Christmas lights. God, that we can have hot chocolate, that we can have some form of cold weather here in Texas, Lord. Father, thank you ultimately that you saw our biggest need in needing a Savior. God, and you didn't leave us, but you loved us. And you sent your Son on our behalf to pay the price that we couldn't pay. Father, that is the truth that we get to celebrate this Christmas year. Lord, help us not overlook the very truth and reality of Christmas morning. Is that your Son was born in human likeness so that we could have a relationship with you. Help us not be distracted by the world, but that we would remember you every single day, that we would focus on you and that we would follow you, Lord. Help us with our faith. Help us where we have unbelief. Help us believe and trust you more. Father, we pray all of this in your Son's name. Amen. All right. Wake Christmas Extravaganza next week. We'll see you there. Have a great week. Thanks, man. Merry Christmas, everyone.